Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
At our church, we have people repeat a prayer who want to place their faith in Christ.
Jesus did all the hard part. He did everything but pray your prayer.
I'm going to ask you just to pray with me right now. Just say these words with me.
You can say those words every day for the rest of your life and die and be separated from God.
The scripture does not say that Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel and said that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, who would like to ask me into their heart?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Eternal conscious torment.
No.
I'm sorry, what's wrong, Mr. Ed?
That would be torment. It's mailbag day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I was so used to... Sorry about that.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now, here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh. Oh, this is Wretched Radio.
You okay?
Well, apparently not. What have you discovered this week that is wretched? Would you kindly send it to idea@wretched.org? And if you want to use your thumbs, you've got questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. I don't know, maybe on the subject of hell. Have we talked about that much this week?
A little bit.
You can text it to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Gabe. It's not a question. He says, I just wanted to let you guys know, as an avid listener for the past year, I've finally been able to join a good Bible-believing church.
Oh, awesome.
I've been blessed with a new job that allows me to be off on Sundays, and I just wanted to say how grateful I am that God has used your ministry as an influence in my life.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Dude, well done. Because the local church will change your life. It's an instant reset button. You go to church and whatever is happening in your earthly existence suddenly transcends. It's like, okay, all right, yeah, all right. There's bigger things. There's eternal things going on here. There are more important things happening. And it just resets you. Which is why I encourage you, don't just go to church on Sunday morning. Go to Bible study before church. Your midweek, go to it. I know. We're all tired. It's a lot to navigate. I get that. But I'm telling you, nobody ever leaves church who's plugging in going, I don't want to do that again. It's like, oh, okay. Ah. I've got a little bit of shalom. And incidentally, I don't know that we've talked about that. It was December 28th last year at Alpharetta Bible Church. We talked about coming to church with great expectation. Coming to church going, all right, Lord, your word doesn't return void. So I'm going to hear your word read, prayed, and preached. What do you have for me today? And if you go to church, not hoping that this will be a good one. there's just too many ways it cannot be a good one. If you're just going for preferences and what kind of makes you content and happy. So for instance, music, we all have favorite songs. So it's a good week because we sang one of my favorite songs. But what if you don't? Does that make it a bad week? No. Because we're not going to have our palates pleased. We're going to hear from God in a very personal way. If you've got a pastor who's preparing a message for his sheep, which is why your pastor's sermon will always be better than John MacArthur's sermons or R.C. Sproul or whoever it is that you like to listen to. As magnificent as those guys are, it is not as good as your pastor's sermon because his preparation is aimed at you. Therefore, if you go to church going, okay, Lord, I am plugged in. I'm edge of my seat. What is it this week that you have prepared for me? I'm telling you, you're just going to get more out of church. And you might discover that you're less critical. Now, I've had to read about people who are critical because I myself do not have that bent. It's like I just swallowed a feather. We can do that, can't we? You'll discover that it's easier to not base this the entire service based on, well, our whims and our fancies and just what makes it. Hey, that sermon was really eloquent, or that, you know, I really, hey, it's, I learned something new this week about the geography of Israel. Okay. There's a better way to go to church. Teach me, Lord. Speak, O Lord. I am listening. And then the other stuff that can maybe disappoint or agitate or not excite you as much, you're going to discover it just doesn't feel like it should be judged. You will just become a less critical person if you go to church with great expectation. So the dude who's going to a church, well done, sir. 877-282-2337.
So we have a question from Anonymous. Todd, how does one know when it is time to stop serving in an area of ministry?
Wisdom. There's responsibility and liberty simultaneously. And life is it's a blob. It's never static. It just never stays this. I mean, who's had the same schedule for 10 years? And you got kids and another this age and that age. So you've got all kinds. And then maybe there's other responsibilities that come up. Work suddenly becomes more demanding. And dad, you got to do it. You just got to plug in. Or your family starves. Okay. Those are the things of life, which means that we have liberty, but simultaneously, we don't want to use that liberty to not fulfill our responsibilities and serving the Lord in the context of the local church. So you're just looking for that. You're just looking for that balance all the time. And if there's a time when you legitimately, and I think it's always helpful to have wise counsel on this, when you determine, I just can't do all of this, it's okay. It's okay. And then consider your ring of priorities. Your first ring, well, you need to take care of your soul. You got to have your spiritual oxygen mask on, or you're not going to be able to help anybody else. But then it's your family, it's your spouse, your kids. Then it's your local church. And so you shouldn't feel guilty about having to say to your local church, I am so sorry, but for this season, I can't do it. Having said that, make sure that you really can't do that and that you're not using busyness, which we all experience, as an excuse to not be a participating member in your local church. And I think the best way to sort through that is let somebody in. Let somebody in. I think we all agree. Let's say it's a 20-year-old guy or gal for that matter. Gender's irrelevant. And when I say that, I don't mean that in the way that we understand it culturally. By the way, did you see, I'll get back to the church thing. Did you see, it was that Josh Hawley interrogation of that woman who was a doctor who couldn't answer if a man can have a baby? Ay, gaviltafish. It's like, seriously? And the Supreme Court, we're having to debate these issues. If that is not proof that we are a society at the end of our common sense rope, I don't know what does. So whether you're a young man or a young woman, wouldn't we all affirm that that individual would benefit from the wisdom of somebody who's 60, 70? That they're having to make a decision about whatever in life to tap into somebody who's been there, done that. Okay, well, 20? Then you're going to learn from a 60-year-old, but so would a 30-year-old, so would a 40-year-old, so would a 50-year-old, so would a 59-year-old. Anybody who's older knows more than you do. That's just, tap into them. Hey, could I talk to you about my schedule? I'm trying to figure out if I can serve in the nursery this semester, and this is what I've got going on at home. And that individual is going to ask you some questions you might not ask yourself, like, so tell me, how's your relationship with your spouse? What does your spouse have to say about it? Well, she thinks I'm overbooked, too busy. But I, hold on, time out. We need to stop there for a moment. Because if your spouse is getting unhappy with the amount of time you spend, even if it's doing something good like serving, you want to weigh that heavily. Now, could it be that the missus is being too demanding of somebody, of her husband's time? Sure. How do you sort that? Wisdom. Wisdom from others. And that is the type of transparent Christian life that I think just makes church the entity that Jesus has designed it to be. There's a reason there. What is it? 42 one another's? Well, like, one another this, one another that, one another this, one another that. It means we are in each other's mess, doesn't it? How can we do all of those things unless we're spending time together? So if you are not a member, look at this, Jimmy, we got a theme. We replaced hell with be a member of a local church. If you're not really plugged into your local church, I implore you to do that. It will serve you well. And then guess what you can do? You can download your wisdom to somebody who's younger. So you're a 20-year-old. Guess what? You know more than a 10-year-old. So why don't you help them and serve them? And if we're doing that, I'm telling you, our schedules will be booked better with more balance than if we try to do it all by ourselves. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Tertullian is known as Asia's first Christian theologian. He came from Assyria and studied under Justin Martyr before returning to prepare a path for the gospel into Western Asia. He wrote A Harmony of the Four Gospels. It was the primary gospel text in Syria throughout the 3rd and 4th centuries.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No, thank you, Senator Hawley. This is Wretched Radio. Won't play the whole thing because it's a 5-minute speed bag. Another Senate hearing discussing the issue of women's health, particularly regarding these abortifacient pills that can be shipped across state lines. Are they really safe? Well, the conversation suddenly aligned itself with what's going on at the Supreme Court this week, and that is a debate about whether should men be able to participate in women's sports? Now, that conversation, I think even 30 years ago, I could imagine if the setting were a bunch of drunk people in a bar at about 2 a.m.
So do you think that a dude could be a woman playing volleyball?
Because apparently Foster Brooks was actually in that bar. Okay, you go, okay, but other than that, that's utterly ridiculous. And yet today in the Supreme Court, we're asking that question. And we're having a Senate hearing in which one of the testifiers, a Dr. Varma, can't answer the question, can a man get pregnant?
Since you bring it up, why don't we just start there? Dr. Varma, I wasn't sure I understood your answer to Senator Moody a moment ago. Do you think that men can get pregnant?
I hesitated there because I wasn't sure where the conversation was going or what the goal was. I mean, I do take care of patients with different identities. I take care of many women. I take care of people with different identities.
I don't expect a grown woman who's a doctor to have that every sentence ends on the way up when she's talking about things. Nevertheless, she simply cannot answer a scientific question. Dr. Varma, in which direction is the sky? Well, I'm not sure where this conversation is going. It's not going anywhere. It's just a question about, you know, reality.
And so that's where I paused. I think, I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Well, the goal is just the truth. So can men get pregnant?
Again, the reason I paused there is I'm not really sure what the goal of the question is.
The goal is just to establish a biological reality. You just said a moment ago that science and evidence should control, not politics. Absolutely. So let's just test that proposition. Can men get pregnant?
I take care of people with many identities, but
can men get pregnant?
I take care of many women that can get pregnant. I do take care of people that don't identify as women.
It's interesting. This woman is so steeped in this ideology, she actually thinks that he's being horrible for asking the question. Why? Because she's talking about experience. I deal with people who are under the delusion they're another gender, and we want to be sensitive to this. So asking that question is very, very dangerous.
Can men get pregnant?
Again, as I'm saying...
Let me just remind you what you testified to a moment ago. Science and evidence should control, not politics. So can men get pregnant? You're
a
doctor,
I think. Science and evidence.
She's so steeped in thinking that just because I think, therefore I am. I don't think that was the original intention. Because I think it, I actually am it. Mind over matter, mind over science. She believes it so deeply. I'm not sure she's actually tracking with him. She thinks he's out of bounds.
Should guide medicine.
Do science and evidence tell us that men can get pregnant? Biological men, can they get pregnant?
I also think yes, no questions like this are a political tool.
No, yes, no questions.
That's Governor Waltz right there. You're asking about Somalian fraud? Quit using this for a political issue.
Questions are about the truth, doctor. Let's not make a mockery of this proceeding. This is about science and evidence, and I'm asking you. You know, the United States Supreme Court just heard arguments yesterday at great length on this question. This is not a hypothetical question. This is not theoretical. It affects real people in their real lives. And you're here as an expert, called by the other side as an expert. And you've been telling us that you follow, right, you're a doctor, and you follow the science and the evidence. So I just want to know, based on the science, can men get pregnant?
How do you like to be a second grade teacher in a public school? All right, kids. So here's the deal. This is a picture of Bill, and Bill's got a baby bump. excuse me, boys can have babies? Quiet, kid. I don't like where you're going with this questioning. I don't understand what this is all about because we've got people in our classroom that I have to deal with and teach a lot. But boys can't get pregnant. I don't appreciate where this questioning is going, two-year-old, second grader.
That's a yes or no question. It really is, I think.
I think you're trying to reduce the complexity of a lot.
I'm not. I'm trying to get, it's not complex. I'm trying to get to an answer, and I'm trying to test, frankly, your veracity.
Okay, we get the point. I'm going to go nuts.
Well, it's not very complex.
It's darkened mine. It's darkened mine. I'm telling you, the way that the world is currently thinking, that our culture is entertaining these things at the highest level of government. We're talking one of the branches of our federal government. This is being debated in the Supreme Court. Then it's in the other branch, in the Senate. This is being debated. Oh, we have darkened minds. This you could not have written this sort of debasement 30 years ago. This last night, we got together with the deacons at Alpharetta Bible Church, and we had barbecue. Oh, it was very, very good too, by the way. And I was sitting next to one of our deacons, and we agreed that if we were put into a room with a box of crack and told, hey, write the most insane thing that a human being could possibly utter, we wouldn't sound like Dr. Varma. We couldn't come up. We'd be like, nah, that's ridiculous. Nobody'd ever think that boys could have babies. That's where we are. Paging Romans 1. Anybody? It was theoretical 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Now it's reality. Now, even when you read, it's so bad that when you read the book of Judges and everybody does that which is right in their own mind, which is the world, that's our contemporary culture, they didn't do the nutty things that we're doing. At least there is nobody in the book of Judges who would have said, when we go into that town to kill all those people, we can kill the women folk too. Now, they still made gender distinctions. They understood that there's a difference between boys and girls. In the book of Judges, we have devolved. 877-282-2337. Now, that's the text machine, or send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is a question from Vinny. Todd, I have a very good friend who is a Christian, has been looking for a church, and unfortunately, the one that he found and is likely going to join has a husband and wife pastoral team. While I'm firmly in the camp of complementarism, it doesn't seem to bother him as much. That's what he said. So my question is, how hard should I push or try to convince him to avoid this church?
Well, as hard as you can. But you got to use the Bible, because if it's just a preference thing, then it's just going to be dismissed. So you got to have your Bible open. You've got to be pointing out 1 Timothy 2. You've got to have Titus 1 at the go. You've got to show the history of the early church. You've got to show the history of the church for 2,000 years. The role of women in the church is really a 20th century novelty. Prior to that, it really wasn't debated much at all, because it was so plain and it was so clear, which is why this issue, to me, it's probably a bigger deal than I think most people perceive. This is a bibliology issue. The Bible is so clear about it, that we complement one another, that women do some things better than men, that men do some things better than women, and you put us together. That's why it's not good for man to be alone. We just don't do everything spectacularly. We need women, and women need men. And it's so plain in the Bible. It's so plain in church history. It's so plain in the history of even the Old Testament, that to go counter to it in any way, shape, or form is to indicate a very deficient understanding of, well, bibliology. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous, a text. Todd, is self-awareness in regard to humility a biblical teaching or found in the Bible?
Self-awareness. Mm-hmm. I guess, the word on the descriptor, the way that it sounds seems fine to me, unless there's some sort of psychological baggage baked into it. Is there more? Is it a psychologized term, Jimmy?
I don't think so.
You know, self-awareness, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah.
The problem is how we read ourselves tends to be a little biased. Because when I read myself, I don't mind telling you, I like what I'm reading. I have a tendency to think that I'm doing really well. And that's kind of a problem. We tend to be blinded toward the assessment of our own selves. I'm just thinking, is there any place we could go where people who love us don't desire to hurt us, but to help us, could actually read us so that we do have a correct self-assessment?
I know.
What do you got, Jimmy?
The local church?
No. No way, because that would mean we actually have only talked about one subject, and I'm okay talking about that one subject, the importance of the local church. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Elon Musk is going to lead off the newscast today because he's announcing he's filing for full custody of his one-year-old son after the child's mother, Ashley St. Clair, made comments suggesting sympathy for transgender ideology. St. Clair, formerly a conservative influencer who wrote a children's book on identity and worked for the Babylon Bee, has apparently experienced a change of heart. She posted an apology for past anti-transgender comments, expressing immense guilt and claiming she's been, quote, trying incredibly hard privately to learn and advocate for those within the trans community. Musk's response? Pretty swift. He said, I'll be filing for full custody today, given her statements implying that she might transition a one-year-old boy. Speaking of threats to children, Google is now sending emails directly to kids approaching the age of 13, telling them that they can graduate. That's the word that they chose to use. From parental supervision and disable parental controls without parental consent. Melissa McKay of the Digital Childhood Institute calls it what it is, grooming for engagement, grooming for data, grooming minors for profit. Across the pond, the British Prime Minister refused to support legislation banning first cousin marriage, despite Conservative MP Richard Holden noting the practice carries significant health issues with a significant multiplier effect when practiced generation after generation. Chairman Bob Habib put it bluntly, saying that the practice exited Western culture over 100 years ago, but returned with a vengeance due to mass immigration from cultures that haven't kept pace with ours. Meanwhile, in Canada, the government confirmed it's not banning X, despite media reports suggesting otherwise. The rumors follow claims that the UK was assembling an association of nations to ban Elon Musk's platform over concerns about AI-generated illegal content. Canadian Minister of Digital Innovation had to explicitly state that, contrary to media reports, Canada is not considering a ban of X, though given the Trudeau government's track record with bills C-11 and C-18, you can understand why people assume the worst. Speaking of our friends up north, in Saskatchewan, government obtained data through a Federal of Information request shows gender transitioning procedures have skyrocketed over the last 5 years, including 99 children under 19 receiving mastectomies. Hysterectomies for gender-confused adults jumped from 7 to 32. These are permanent, life-altering surgeries being performed despite overwhelming evidence that more than 80% of children with gender dysphoria outgrow it naturally by late adolescence. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a curse for us. When Adam sinned, all creation came under a curse, and everyone who breaks God's law is cursed. But Jesus bore our curse on the cross so that we may receive the blessings of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy doesn't want to talk about hell, but I get to. This is Wretched Radio. I have the privilege in just Oh, not that many moments. I get to join David Wheaton on his Christian Worldview program. He's going to talk about the subject of hell, which is a topic that has suddenly been thrust upon us for our re-examination. I don't think that it is a doctrine that needs to be reviewed. It is so clear. It would be as if somebody said, hey, let's just talk about Jesus being God. Don't need to. Don't need to talk about the eternality of hell. It's just that clear. And the witness of the church for 2,000 years testifies the case is really closed. It is a big deal. It is a big conversation. It is one that we've been having all week. Jimmy doesn't want to have it anymore, but that's okay. I get to join David Wheaton. If you've never checked out David's program, Christian Worldview, go find him. You will be blessed by him. His show, it's an hour long. It's on the weekend. He is so thoughtful. Believe me, I know. Normally, a talk show host would be like, you want to come on the program? And then at the last second, the dude's like scrambling to come up with some notes. Let me just look at the table of contents of your book and ask you, I see here in chapter 7, that's not David Wheaton. He sent me the questions in advance. Oh boy, we're going to do a deep dive on hell, Christian Worldview. Just look for David Wheaton, look for Christian Worldview. You will be blessed. And then start sending stuff to idea@wretched.org or feel free to text 877-282-2337.
Okay, this question is from Murphy. Todd, is it wrong for me to limit hanging out with my brother-in-law because he loses his temper and excessively yells or acts selfishly toward me? The odd thing is he's calm and respectful with church friends and our pastor.
Yeah, it's funny how people can keep it under control when they want to. I'm not sure this is a perfect rule, but if I see somebody who's got a sin area, let's just use anger because that's what's currently on the table, but they can keep it together in a context, then they can keep it together in other contexts. That would be a choice at that point. Should you continue or cut back on your time with that person? I'm going to put a preamble on this only because it's 2026. It's the 21st century, and there is a trend that we have been talking about regularly here because it is so widespread and it is so nasty. It's boundary drawing. It's building walls, protecting yourself. Let them theory. This is the idea that if anybody bugs you in any way, shape, or form, you ghost them. You cut them out of your life. You limit. You make rules because you got to protect yourself. Now, that's a big, ugly trend. Why? Because anybody who says anything that they disagree with, well, then you got to build a boundary and you're done and I'm cutting you out. That isn't biblical. The biblical posture toward other sinners is patience and love and forbearance, the cultivating of relationships, desiring the other person's good, being willing to self-sacrifice. That's how we should be seeing difficult people. And so I think it's important before getting to the bullseye of the question, the trajectory of the Christian is not boundary setting. The face of the Christian is set on, I love you, I'm going to desire your best, I'm going to help you in every way, and I'm going to overlook a multitude of sins because I desire relationship. Because if I'm in a, for instance, in a family with you, then God has providentially put us together. So I have an obligation to you, and I think that obligation is love, patience, kindness, wanting the best, helping, not cutting them out. Now, having said that's our posture, is there ever a time to limit? And the answer to that is yes. But that's, think of limiting as close to the nuclear option. The nuclear option is done, never want to see you again. And there are times for that too. I do believe that it is a process in most instances. Safety is always a big issue. If you are physically not safe from this individual, then that's not boundary drawing. That would just be common sense. and not allowing yourself to be abused. So we want to make sure that we understand that the way that I view people isn't to cut them off as fast as I can. That's more nuclear option. And that's why this current trend is so pernicious. You say, "Hey Jimmy, what do you think about my tie today?"
Tie?
Yeah.
You know.
What do you mean? Why are you pausing?
It could have been
done. I'm to cut him off. I'm done. We need somebody new here. That's modern day. You don't praise my tie. You're out of here. That's not the Christian response. That's the world's response. We forbear, recognizing there can be times. And because our emotions can cloud the water so profoundly, if you're thinking about, you know, limiting that time and what with somebody that you are in a dynamic relationship with, being like in-laws, do it with wise counsel. Do it with wise counsel, because they're likely going to bring things to your attention that you simply can't identify because you can't read your own heart well. Furthermore, they might bring up things that you've forgotten, like, "Hey, is that brother-in-law saved? Could it be that the Lord has put him in your path so that you can evangelize him? Oh, hey, I never thought about it that way." And then suddenly you're making a different decision. So there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors, particularly, repeat with me, in the context of your local church. 877. Would you add anything to that, Jimmy?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I would say that there could come, and I think you were all around this. You may have even said it, but I think there could come a time where it needs to go to the pastor.
Oh, sure.
Because, I mean, that's the counsel that he apparently needs. And if he's calm around the pastor, because he chooses to be, the pastor may not even know he has an anger issue.
Getting your elders involved, certainly, or getting others involved to surround that person, to help that person. That's what the local church is supposed to be about. What an amazing concept. You know, church didn't just happen. It's the idea of our Savior. And it is awesome, especially when we are given rules, that the rules of the church have never been more starkly contrasted to the rules of the world when it comes to relationships. This is, you wanted to, okay, so you could say, well, gender stuff, that's really stark. Yep, it is. Understanding a marriage, that's stark. Yep. But relationships, this trend of boundary setting is so worldly and so awful. And it's contra to how we're supposed to be treating one another, especially in the context of a local church. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous as a text. Todd, should we strictly follow speed limits?
Hey, look at that Josh Howley video with you right there.
Oh, come on.
Last time we talked about this, if I recall, I took a beating.
You took one from me.
You say absolutely, strictly follow them.
I think that's the Christian posture, yes.
Let me say this. I think that our desire should be to follow the limits. But I think that I think even the government understands driving is dynamic, and there could be times when you're going a few miles over the speed limit. You know, the police, they overlook that sort of stuff. But I think the principle is we try to be law-abiding citizens. Would you like to know the most helpful thing? In fact, I used this morning. I have to drive on Highway 400 in Atlanta. Mm. It's big, and people go very fast. And I'm not sure anybody went to driving school in Atlanta. And it's that road. And the right-hand lane, I have to stay in the right lane because I just go from exit to exit. But I can get frustrated because the right lane, you know, is the right lane drivers. And I have a desire to just gun it, get around them and cut in front of them so I can get to the exit sooner, and then off I go. Now, I've observed this, but I did not want to affirm it. I can zip around that person and I get up to the stoplight at the top of the ramp and there they are right behind me. So what did I pick up? Like 12 feet. But the thing that really convicted me was I saw a video once. John Piper was asked this question. And he gave what was such a surprising answer for John Piper. He said, I did the math. Not what I expect from John Piper. I expect, here's the Bible verse. He said, I did the math that if you drive this far at this speed versus this same distance at this speed, this is how much time you pick up. And it was so insignificant. I just went, it's genuine. So let's just say I'm driving like a madman, risking people's lives, disobeying the law, and I'm white knuckle because I got to get over and get over and let me into this thing and get. I've got my turn signal on. It just ain't worth it. This is Wretched Radio.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at FortisPlus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options: be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to FortisPlus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Books of the Bible. The book of Job answers the question, why do the righteous suffer? When Job loses everything, his friends blame him. But when Job questions the Lord, he responds, God is sovereign and he is good. His ways are beyond our understanding. When you suffer, know that God is in control. He has his own purposes that you may not understand.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Being from Minnesota has its benefits. This is Wretched Radio. Sorry. Even as I said it, it's like these days, it's really good to be from Minnesota because, wow, what's going on there? But Jimmy, I don't know if you noticed what happened on the question regarding should Christians always obey the speed limit. I used some Minnesota skills.
You did.
Just kind of skated right around it. Yeah, we should seek to obey the speed limit. Of course we should.
Yeah, I think there's wisdom in like flow of traffic and things like that, that you've just got to be smart.
Okay,
on.
I'm not trying to talk my way into justifying speeding, but what you mentioned, Jimmy, have you been at like 400?
Oh yeah.
You go ahead and do 55. And you got people like almost crashing into you, even in the right-hand lane. Oh. It's like the whole flow is average easily 70, 75 miles an hour. There are times on 400 just to test it. I don't do this for any other, just, you know, for scientific reasons. I'll be doing like 85.
Wow.
Boom. People just blast by you. I remember so vividly when we moved from Minnesota, we were driving on this. This will give you an idea of the year and how cheap we are. We actually had walkie-talkies between cars because using the cell phone, I think, was either too expensive. We didn't have whatever it was. We used walkie-talkies between cars. And we hit 75 coming down from Chattanooga into Atlanta. We hit 75. And I was behind Mrs. Friel, who's in the other vehicle. And I'm like, sweetheart, can you hear me? Is this thing on? Can you hear me? Okay, it was that torturous. Could you go a little faster, sweetheart? I'm going as fast as I can. That's my impression of my wife, apparently. I'm going as fast as I can. Well, they're bearing down on me. Like, this is like, they're going to crash into me. Could you pick it up? Okay. And that's when we were baptized into Atlanta traffic. And am I justifying speeding in that instance when it's like, it's just not safe to go the speed limit? These people are all insane and there's a flow issue. Or am I just trying to skate around the reality? No, I strictly adhere to the limit all the time.
No, I mean, I think there's wisdom. I think there's wisdom in, like, you don't want to...
There you have it. So speed away, everybody. 877-282-2337. Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is from Ben, who says he's going back to school to get his doctorate in nursing. And he says, we use the American Psychological Association formatting for our papers. The problem is that the APA now promotes DEI. And one way is by using gender-affirming, gender-neutral terms in our papers. And as a Christian, I don't feel I should give in and go along with this, but I also don't believe the faculty at my school will budge on this.
No.
How do I deal with it?
I got to tell you, I feel your pain. I do, and I think that this is so easy for me to say this here because I'm not having to stare at, I could get kicked out of the school and out of the program, and that could affect my family. It's the affect the timing, all of the arrangements that I get that. But I would say this, and I get it. It's easier for me. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. Do it. If you've got the people leading the psych department that don't know there's a difference between boys and girls, I'm sorry. I just can't participate in what I think is a depraved mind. I can't do it. Now, would I perhaps strive to come up with creative ways to kind of maneuver through it? Yeah, I think that would be okay. But I think if you're being forced to say, yes, I affirm that a boy can actually give birth to a baby, you know, like
as a medical professional and as a scientist, can men get pregnant?
I think you're also conflating male,
extraordinary.
Male with...
No, I'm not conflating male and female. They're two different things. There's
Brother, if you're asking me, I couldn't do it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Jonathan. Todd, every so often I have Mormons come to the door and I have had an increasing burden to evangelize them. What's the best way to lead them to the truth?
Make sure that you understand you can't. I mean, really get that firmly fixed because it can be exceedingly challenging. This is how I handle Mormons. Having exchanged many, many times with Mormons, it is my method to focus on one thing with the Mormon. You don't have a chance. your goodness, it is not even close enough. You do not do enough. You're going to be judged by the pristine holiness of God, and you are going to be found wanting. And let their conscience scream at them. Why? Because if I get into a debate with them over, for instance, the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, is he an eternal being or is he a created being? You're going to do that all round and round and round you go, and you get nowhere. And that has been my discovery. I just can't make advancements with a Mormon because they're so steeped and they're so prepared for the arguments. But their conscience is always vulnerable. Go after it. Help them to understand if they don't have the God-man Jesus Christ, you're going to perish, my Mormon friend. You are not going to make it to any level of celestial. You won't even make terrestrial. You're going to be damned. You need a savior. You need Jesus totally and completely. Not you do your best and Jesus does the rest. You need him fully and thoroughly and totally. Submit to Jesus Christ. Gotta go. And that's, I want that ringing in their ears. Now, there are a lot of people, they would say, I show them this Bible verse and this, but cool, rock on. But personally, having done it enough times, I don't find it a profitable endeavor to spend time paging through the Bible with them. I want to get to their conscience. And even if, now this is not the desire, but even if it means not telling them about Jesus, because they are just being very rich young rulery, you can let them ride off and let the Holy Spirit do the convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and trusting the Lord that you thought it was best in wisdom to let this weigh on their conscience. You're going to hell. Goodbye. Because of the context of what's going on and all the dynamics, I think you can make that decision trusting that the Lord will get the gospel to them. You're not doing it because you're wanting to withhold it. You're not doing it because it's like, hey, you're going to go to hell. See ya. That isn't it. But because you think this person needs to be startled into the reality, you can't do enough good to assuage the wrath of God. You can't do enough to pay for your sins because you've committed them against an infinitely holy God. Oh, Jimmy. Oh, boy. It's going to be really hard to obey your request to not talk about hell. This is why hell is eternal, because we commit our sins against God. It is not our sins that are the thing that damn us eternally. It's the one against whom we've committed the sins. God, perfect in holiness, light inapproachable. He's the one that we have offended. And that's why hell is eternal. And so I want to leave that weighing on the Mormon. If I get a chance to say, you got to believe in Jesus, and it's got to be, you need fully God, fully man. You need a representative and you need a divine sacrifice, because if you don't have fully God, fully man, your sins aren't forgiven. You need Jesus. If you'd ever like to talk about it more, I'm more than happy to do that with you. Gotta go. That's my take. 877-282-2337.
Right, this is from Brent. Todd, whenever I hear someone say something along the lines of ask Jesus into your heart, it makes me cringe. I feel that it's theologically shallow and it downplays the importance of true repentance and salvation. Am I the only one that feels this way?
No. You can just go to the YouTube machine. You can put in Wretched, ask Jesus into your heart. Ray Comfort did a video on asking Jesus into your heart. I get it. Jesus, his Holy Spirit, he dwells in our hearts. I get it. But I understand that. But the question is, how does he get in there? And the answer is, he grants us repentance and faith. We repent. We turn from our sins. We put our trust in Jesus Christ. That is the fruit of being regenerated and born again. And we don't do those things and then we're born again. We are born again and then we exercise the gift of repentance and faith that God gives to us because he has granted those things to us. And so I think that, yeah, I understand why people say that. It's not as new a cliche as you might suspect it is, but I agree. It's just not clear enough. the biblical language over and over, and you'll never see "ask Jesus into your heart." What did Jesus say? First words, Mark 1:15. First words, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." This is not to suggest that nobody has been saved who asked Jesus into their heart, but if they were asking Jesus into their heart, what they were really doing is repenting and trusting. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.